There is power when you acknowledge God in your life. That song said, never would have made it. There is power when you acknowledge God in your life. Everything's good? Testing, 1, 2, 3. So much power when you acknowledge God in your life. Amen. And God is worthy of all the praise. Psalm 121, we're familiar. Some of us are familiar with that psalm, especially that first verse. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. We repeat that often. But what is it really all about? Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we honor you, we praise you, we thank you. We pray thy blessings upon our time together in your word. That your word, God, will go forth and that we will be strengthened by it. That lost will be found, disconnected will be connected. That you would get the glory, God, out of our lives and out of this service. Allow me, O God, to humble myself and get behind and out of the way so that you can just move forward and do what you need to do through me and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we want to talk about going up to worship. Not just going to church, going up to worship. Has anyone here gone through something this whole week just trying to get to worship? Anybody go through something this morning just trying to get to worship? Going up to worship. According to J. Vernon McGee in his series, Walk Through the Bible, Psalms 120 through Psalms 134 were referred to as the song of degrees or the songs of ascent. Ascent meaning the act of rising or mounting or climbing an upward slope. You must remember that the Psalms are referred to as the hymn book of Israel. During that time, these Psalms were sung. There are a few psalmists left in this area that can sing in the Psalms. But Psalms 120 through 134 were songs, they called them of the pilgrims, the caravans. They were called the traveler songs because most commonly these songs were used during the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. These were the three times of the year that God required that the males would come and worship him and bring their families with them to go up to Jerusalem to worship. And as they would come from the north, south, east, and west, they would come from different areas and they would come together and they would walk towards Jerusalem, sometimes a day's journey. But Psalms 120 through 134, those were the psalms that they sung on the journey. And what's deep is that nowhere in the research did it say that they had hymn books or that they were reading from Bibles. I don't know if they had it in their hearts. I don't know if this one from the north, you know, remembered or just, you know, recited Psalm 120, 121. But as they moved closer to Jerusalem, they would be reciting these psalms. And they were going up to worship. And the reason they were going up to worship, my wife and I can attest to this fact, when you get to Jerusalem, you get to Israel, it's all mountainous. Not just hills, but mountains. So when you climb mountains to worship, you're going up to worship. In scripture, you got to be careful when folk go down. Jonah went down to Tarshish. But when you're talking about worship, you're talking about going up. And as you go up, stuff falls off. As you get closer to Jerusalem, as you get closer to the church, stuff ought to fall off. That's why they put radio in cars. So you can have you some music. Hope it's gospel music on your way to church. But when you have a mind for worship, what you're trying to do is you're trying to focus on what you're going to do when you get to the house of God. That's why it's good when you get in the car, everybody just be quiet and listen to the music. Because if we start talking, we might start arguing. Yeah. Some of the kids might say something foul and throw you off. You know, so you just need to get in there, listen to music, and just prepare for worship. As a matter of fact, as soon as you wake up on Sunday morning, you ought to be in preparation for worship. Because worship is different than just coming to church. Some folks wake up to come to church. And you can tell the folks that just come to church because they just come to church because they got something new. They didn't come to worship. They didn't like that one. The Jews were scattered at this time from all around. They would come from all over the civilized world to go to Jerusalem three times a year. And I said, God, what's with us? He said, if you only worship me three times a year, you would appreciate and respect worship more. But because I made a way out of no way, because Jesus tore down the middle wall in the Holy of Holies, because you can come to me anytime, you all don't even appreciate worship. You don't respect worship. You don't even worship me anymore. You worship me when you want to or when you think you want something. I want somebody to worship me for who I am. I am that I am. Moses said, God, who shall I say sent me? Something that I am. So I want folks to worship me. So when you look at Psalms, it's a whole different mindset going on. And as they would move towards Jerusalem, they would sing these Psalms. And it was a rough journey. And there were some people there around there wanted to attack them as they were walking to worship. So when they came from the north, south, east, and west, it's like they came together at Broad Alley. And then they just started marching towards the church, marching towards Jerusalem. And they would sing psalms. First, they would start off with Psalm 120. And one day it would be Psalm 121. Then the next day, they'd see Psalm 122. And there'd be another psalm until they reach their destination. The closer they got, the higher they had to go. Because don't forget, Jerusalem is up on, the temple's up on the mountain. And I said, God, what is it about the high places where the songs of the high places shall come down? He said, God, there are high places, but I'm the high place. Oh, my God. See, only the high priest in the high place. And he said these high places. And as they got closer to Jerusalem to worship, they could see the hills of Judea. And once they saw the hills of Judea, they would continue on singing. And the closer they got, they could see the temple in Jerusalem. Yeah. Now, somebody might have a Bible here that says Psalm 121, verse 1. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. They might have a question mark behind it. If you got the New Revised Standard Version, it has a question mark behind that verse because there are some scholars that say, really, that verse is rhetorical because when they got to the hills, they didn't really see what they wanted. In the hills was where there was idol worship. All the heathens set their idols up in the hills, and that's where they built all of their idolatrous worship, and all they erected their altars there in the hills. So when the Jews were coming to worship, when he said, I will look to the hills from whence cometh my help, they were really telling us, no, we ain't just going to the hills. We're not going to the hills. We're going to the one that created the hills. And all I need to let you know is that as you go to worship, you'll get closer to church and something will still mess with you. But when you want to worship the true God, you'll go past the idols and they would say, up in those hills. Up, that's why the question mark is there. Up in those hills were where the idols were worshiped. And you'll see in all the Old Testament, the hills. They were up in the hills. They were up in the hills. They had these idols. They were doing all this idol worship. Because Jerusalem and Judah and Israel got caught up in that stuff when you read Jeremiah and Isaiah and everything. But as they went up, they were looking for the true God. And see, when you know who the true God is, you won't get fooled when you get closer to Jerusalem and you find out, oh, there's some stuff. No, that's not what we're looking for. I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. And see, verse 2 answers. They were singing and walking. No, not them hills. My help cometh from the Lord. See, when you read verse 2,
Somebody, well, you know how they do that cadence thing. Or somebody would say, I got a party over here, and they got a party over here. So, and what he's saying is, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, and where's coming my help? They said, no, my help coming from the Lord that made the heaven and the earth. He's saying, that made the hills. There's a lot of mess up in them hills. My. So when you go through this psalm, I want you to think about that. But the children of God, they were looking for the God that created the hills, the God beyond the hills. And they would go through the rugged terrain and to get to worship. And as they got closer to the temple, the joy of the psalms, they would sing, it would increase. By the time they got to the final final distance, by the time they got to the temple, they would be singing Psalm 134. Look at Psalm 134, what they'd be singing. That was so powerful. By the time they got in the sanctuary, Psalm 134, after a long walk, they ain't stop by. They ain't say, give me no spring water. I'm so tired. I'm this and that. Because three times a year, they wanted to worship God. Look at Psalm 134. Look what it says. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. They say, sometime when they got there, guess what time it was? It was nighttime. But they didn't care. They had come to a place of worship. So they got Psalm 133. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which is by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands. Did we play that song today? Where do you think that came from? Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. So when you're on this journey, you know, you got that, you know, when you're on your way to church, don't let stuff distract you. When you're on your way to worship, don't let stuff distract you. Get some scriptures in your mind. Get some songs in your mind. And you begin to worship the God before you get there. You begin to sing the songs before you get there. As a matter of fact, go with me to Psalm 120. Look how it sounded when it started out. We're not going to read the whole thing. Look at verses maybe 1 and 2. When they started out, look what they said. In my distress. See how we start off at church sometimes? So be real with me. You don't always wake up like, whoa, church. Sometimes you wake up, oh my God, it's Sunday. I got to get up and get something on and fix my presents and get these little snot-nosed kids ready. I wish I had a witness in the end. And what you thought you were going to wear, you couldn't wear because you ate too many hamburgers during the week. You know, he's going to owe somebody. But when you start out going to worship, things begin to happen. Psalm 120. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. This is how they started out. But look at Psalm 121, where it says, I will lift up my eyes. See, as they go on the journey, as they get a little closer, they begin to talk different. As you get closer to worship, as you get closer to God, you begin to talk different. The things that used to bother you don't bother you. The funniest thing is when I get to my doctor's appointment, I don't hurt no more. That ever happened to you? You call and get you an appointment. You get the appointment and think of the anointment. Psalm 121, I'll lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord which made the heaven and the earth. Look at Psalm 122. What does it say? Reverend Terrence said it in the altar prayer. What does it say in Psalm 122? Well, I was what? I hadn't even got there yet, but I'm on my way. I'm on my way to worship. Don't call me with no foolishness. I'll get you out of jail when I get out of church. The pastor, I've been here all night. A few more hours more. We start service at 10 and we'll be there. Matter of fact, they can really serve you breakfast. Hold tight for a minute. You got to let folks know sometime. Some people will deliberately call you when they know you're preparing for church just to see if they're important enough in your life to block you from your worship. They don't understand in order for you to deal with them and their nonsense, you need to get to worship. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here.
You need to get. They don't know. They don't understand this thing. So they're not close to Jesus like you. But they don't understand. You need to get to worship so you can deal with their nonsense. Because if they don't let you get to worship, you might tell them what. But imagine all these Israelites walking up to go to church. Droves of them walking together. I will lift my eyes. But they were singing it. I don't know what the rhythm was. From whence cometh my help? And somebody said, my help? And somebody said, coming from the Lord. Somebody, which made the heaven and the earth. Somebody has to say, okay, we finished that song. I'm glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within our gates, O Jerusalem. They hadn't even gotten there yet, but in their mind. Whatever God showed you, whatever vision he gave you, in your mind, you can see yourself standing in the vision, standing in your destiny, standing. I can see myself in worship. Oh. And I don't want no rock crying out for me. Bless God for the choirs. Bless God for our praise and worship ministry. But sometimes you ought to give up your own praise. Sitting that time, sing y'all. No, you sing. You sing your praise. You come on and join in with us. Look at Psalm 123. They're getting closer. Unto thee lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. See, they're looking beyond the hill. See, unto thee lift up mine eyes. That's got to be awesome. That's got to be something good. When you walking to worship together and everybody on one accord, ain't nobody talking about, I don't know why y'all ain't take the bus. I don't know why we got to go to Jerusalem to worship. It used to amaze me. There was a church that I was visiting, and the people were coming from New York to Philadelphia. I'm like, why you come all the way from New York? This is where God told me to worship. I was like, D, don't get addicted. I'm just interested. Because they got a lot of churches in New York. But he said, this is my Jerusalem. This is where I got to get up very early to get here. To my place of worship. I tell folks, don't let nobody mess you up from your place of worship. Don't let nobody push you off your square in your place of worship. Wherever God told you to worship, you need to worship. Yes. Unto thee lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. Their confidence is in the Lord. I'm not going to make no long journey and think God's not going to show up when I get there. As a matter of fact, he's already in the group. As we're traveling, the presence of the Lord is. Take the name of Jesus. Worship is so different than coming to church. And God wants the body of Christ to get used to this thing called worship. Because I said, God, why worship? He said, because I got too many folks looking to me for the house and the car and the money and not me. If they get me, then I'll give them the stuff. I got too many folks looking to me for material stuff. I want folks to look to me and want me to worship with me. Look at Psalm 124. What does it say? Because sometimes as they was walking, some folks was trying to get them. And if it had not been, now may Israel say, can you imagine how you were singing that thing? Anybody ever been in a four-part choir? Holy, holy, holy. And somebody else, and I'll tell them to say, Lord God Almighty. And then in verse 2, they said it again, if it had not been the Lord who's on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up quick. Where their wrath was kindled against us. Look at 125. What does it say? They that trust in the Lord shall be as what? Which cannot but abideth. Was that not the altar prayer? Was that not the... This is stuff they sing. They just singing the song. They ain't singing the oldies. They singing the song. They going up to Jerusalem. Look at Psalm 126. What does that say? When the Lord turned against the captive in Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. You don't have no good dreams unless you're sleeping well. Unless you're resting in the Lord properly, you're not going to have those kind of dreams that will wake you up laughing and filled with joy. Look at Psalm 127. What does it say? Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Psalm 128, what does it say? Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. My God. They're getting close to Psalm 128 to go to Psalm 134. Psalm 120 to 134 is called the pilgrim psalm, the traveler's psalm. So as you travel along, you ought to be saying this stuff and singing this stuff to yourself because you're going to worship. And I'm excited about this worship thing. The closer we get excited about this worship thing because we're going to look to the hills, beyond the hills, from which cometh our help? Our help coming from the Lord. Look at Psalm 129. What does it say? Have they afflicted me from my youth? May Israel now say what? Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they what? Can you imagine walking to worship? Think about all the stuff that happened to you. Many a time he tried to get me. But devil, you got to do something a little better than that. What preacher said, you ought to got me when you had me. Because now that I know Jesus, you got to do something terrific, great. He said, but they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. My God. Look at Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice, that thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark as my iniquity, the Lord, who shall stand? God, if you don't have no mercy on me, if you don't extend grace to me, ain't no sense in me going on up to Jerusalem to worship you. I don't stand a chance, God. Glory be to God. Okay, I'll just have fun by myself. Y'all look at me next. Psalm 131. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. In other words, God, I'm going to wait on thee, O God. I'm going to humble myself in your sight. God, do what you need to do. God, I'm on my way to worship. I'm on my way to Jerusalem. Yes, I did lose my job last week, but I forgot about all that, about 14 miles back there. I'm on my way to worship. Yeah, the doctor gave me a bad report, but I'm on my way to tell you about it. Yeah, my kids act crazy, but I'm on my way. We got to learn how to be on our way in worship. Some of that stuff, God said, don't bring me all that stuff. Bring me you. If I can have you, I can take care of your stuff. Just bring me you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because as your mind being renewed and you going to worship, all the stuff you left home, you left home. Look at 132. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or summer to my eyelids until I what? And habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. He said, I will not rest until I get in touch with you, God. I don't care what kind of day I had, God. I got to find some time for you to let you know, God, I thank you and I love you. And I know we're not been able without you. Oh, glory be to God. Somebody missed Psalm 133. What does it say? They all together now. They all together in a group. What does it say? They all together in unity. And somebody said, hey, y'all, guess what? Behold, they looking around, looking at the crowd. Look at this. Look at this worship experience. Behold, how good. That's what a real worship experience is. I'm not mad with you, and you're not mad with me. I'm not hating on you, and you're not hating on me. We're focused. The whole crowd felt that because verse 2 says, it's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down through the skirts of his garments. That thing fell down. Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. And then they got to Psalm 134. Behold, bless you, the Lord. They in the temple now. They in the sanctuary now. They are talking to God. Here we are. Behold. And see, when you really want to worship, tired leaves you. Aches and pain leave you. When you really get your focus on worship, the unpaid bills leave you. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. When you really focus on worship, that what you were struggling with, you leave that outside the door. And when you get in the temple, you just begin to give God praise and give God glory. You begin to lift up the name of Jesus. You thank God for your journey. You thank God for getting you there safe and sound.
But see, you got to go up to worship. Every step they took, they went up higher and higher. And stuff fell off of them. The closer you get to God, stuff going to fall off. The stuff that used to keep you home, keep you from worship, tying up your tongue, messing up your mind, making you think God ain't this and God ain't that and church ain't this and church ain't that. But God is trying to let you know, come on and seek me. If you seek me, you'll find me. If you want to worship me, you'll find I'll do great and wondrous things if you'll just seek me. Stop letting folk get in your way. Stop letting these preachers, these pastors get in your way and all these people you find in church that don't seem to be telling you the truth, don't seem to care about you. God said, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me. My yoke is, sometimes you got to be like the woman that he talked about, the issue of blood. You got to press through the mess, press through the crowd to get what you need. Excuse me. I'm trying to get to excuse me. Sometimes you can't stop by your favorite restaurant. They crowded. It's called a forced fast. You can't eat that day. We let too much stuff block us. We make preparation for everything else. Where we want to go, we make preparation for it. But when it comes to worship, we let anything get in the way. I can't come to church today. My cousin came over. Guess what we do with cousin? Come on. Come on, cuz. Get in the car. You ain't got to have no shirt and tie, cuz. No. Come in, y'all. That's our church. Come on, cuz. Yeah. I'll cook you some ribs when we get back. I'm going to worship my brother. Ain't no ribs going to stop me. You got to let folk know what's important in your life. You ain't got to be nasty with it. I'm going to worship. You ain't asking for no gas money. You ain't asking for nothing. You say, I'm just going to worship. You can go if you want to. But when you look close to Psalm 121, what compels these Jews three times a year to take that long journey? All they had to go to get to Jerusalem worship. Well, I agree with the MacArthur Study Bible. It suggests these 4 points and we out of here. Number one, Psalms 121, 1 and 2 says, they saw God as their helper. See, you got to see God as your helper in order to do what you need to do to get here. And sometimes you get upset because somebody don't know what you went through to get here. That's all right. They don't need to know. God know what you went through. You ain't got to get no testimony. All right, you don't know what I've been through this morning. So what? Did you did it for the Lord or what? Or did you do it for a big testimony? Tell you if I can hear you. I went through the hell and high water. Well, where's that? I ain't never been to that neighborhood. Where it at? Where it at? I'm glad to see you, but please knock it off. Because then I get somebody else that went through more than you went through to get here today. Oh, I came in with a bad cold. Well, this sister came in with cancer. Hey, you want to trade? Oh, come on, come on. When you come into worship, come on, stop the nonsense. God is no respecter of person. He know what you went through. As a matter of fact, he woke you up and told you to come worship him. So Psalm 121, 1 and 2, it says, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made the heaven and the earth. They saw God as their helper. And can't nobody help you like God. Anybody have a helper? Any teachers there have a helper in your classroom? But can't nobody help you like God? You appreciate the help on earth. But can't nobody help you like God? And number two, they saw God as their keeper. Look at Psalm 121, 3 and 4.
He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. That's why they were so bold. They said, God, you my keeper. God, we're going to travel to Jerusalem. We're going to worship you. Some folks trying to get at us. It's going to get nighttime when we're dark out there. But we ain't afraid. We're not scared because we're coming to worship you. You are our keeper. You promised you would keep us. And you said you would keep our whoever's mind is stayed on you. You will keep us in perfect peace. And God, here we go. We're coming to worship you. I don't care who don't like it. I don't care if all the outer worshipers around here get mad at us and throw stones at us. We're coming to worship you. Why? Because you're the one that's been there. So they saw God as a helper and God as a keeper. Then they saw God as a protector in Psalm 121, 5 and 6. The Lord is our keeper. The Lord is our shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. And that simply meant that the robbers and thieves can't get you, nor will the natural sun burn you. Oh, my God. They saw God as their, as Psalm 125, as their protector. He was their helper, the keeper. Now he's their protector. And see, you won't press your way to worship if you don't think God is, if you think God's not your helper. If you don't know him as your keeper. If you don't know him as your helper and your keeper, lose your job. Then tell me who has helped you and who has kept you. You heard the testimonies. Even though I don't have a job, I ain't hungry. Even if I don't have a job, I still got my house. Even if I don't have a job, I'm still driving my car. They that wait upon the Lord. And it's sometimes, amen, sometimes God is just trying to show you who he is and how great he is. Because sometimes we grow dependent on the things that we're used to. I told you, God got me straight. He said, look here, leave that job. I said, man, you don't understand. I've been a long time, my brother. I'm ready to hit six figures up in here, man. He said, you got it twisted. I'm not your resource. I'm your source. God is speaking to somebody today, let you know he's your source. If he wasn't your source, how could you do what you do on unemployment or no unemployment? How could you do what you do with no money? I come to your house, you eating better than I'm eating, and you ain't even. And I ain't mad. I see the works of God in your life, that makes me excited. That God is still a God of his word, the God of your salvation, that he's still blessing you. Hallelujah. Because it's not built on material things. I haven't seen anybody hungry that went outside and ate the steering wheel out there fine car. Come on. Think about that. You ain't got nothing to eat. You got a fine car. Get you some mustard and ketchup to eat a tire. I guarantee you get tired of it. No, okay. They saw God as their helper, God as their keeper, God as their protector. Finally, they saw God as their preserver. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. You know it says no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Didn't say he wasn't going to come at you. He'll preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. So the next time I call you up for the Feast of Pentecost or the Feast of Tabernacles or whatever, you won't be afraid to make the journey. God is calling us to worship on the day. Once you get in the house of the Lord, you might do Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And that means no matter what you're going through, the praise of the Lord is going to be in your mouth. Do I have a witness here today? Anybody going through some rough stuff, you can raise your hand. But is God still God? Is he still the God of your life? Will you still worship him? Are you in church today because he hurt you or because he helped you? Charles Stanley was saying this morning, folks keep asking him, how can God allow this to happen? How can God allow that to happen? How can God allow a tsunami? How can God allow 9/11? Guess what Charles Stanley said? If God is not involved in it, then there's another God. And I need to know who he is. Because I need to serve the God of my salvation and the God of the tsunami. God is in everything. He didn't say he was a...
He's got the whole world. And God does what he does for a reason. What did Pastor Wallace say? Sometimes you're a billboard for somebody else to know how great God is. Some folks going through some stuff. But God said, I just want to use you for my glory. Anybody ever in there worship with Psalm 150? That everything that had breath, praise the Lord. God said, it's time out for wanting to worship me when something going wrong. I want some folks to worship me every day of the week, 7 days a week, 24 hours. You ever wake up with worship on your mind? You ever wake up with a peace that passes all understanding, the joy that is unspeakable, and the same stuff that was on the table yesterday, the same bills are stacked up there. Lord, you got... You said, bring all my stuff to here, and then pack it up nice with a bow. Here you go, God. I'm tired of this mess. Anybody ever spend hours over something that you couldn't change? And then the Lord kicked in and said, why are you messing with that? Why are you trying to do my job? I thought y'all would take care of you. But God, I can't see it. Good. Exercise your faith. Good. I'm glad you can't see it. Exercise your faith. If I told you I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And don't put me on no clock and don't put me in your cell phone. Don't put, no. I made time for you. I don't need no time. 1,000 years from my sight ain't nothing but a day. If I said I'm going to take care of it, I'm going to take care of it. You're going to have to learn how to walk by faith and walk and not by sight. You're going to have to learn how to worship. You're going to have to learn how to go up to worship. Because when you come up to worship, all that other stuff is left behind. I understand as you go higher, there's something happens in the atmosphere. And sometimes when you go higher, when you go in some the wind, something will begin to blow stuff off of you. Some of us need to go up high to worship. We not need to go to the high places. No, you need to go to the high place where the high priest tore down the curtain that we can go into the Holy of Holies and say, God, here I am. Anybody sick and tired? If you can just crawl in the Holy, God, here I am. God, I need you, God. You better make it to your Jerusalem. Stop playing around with God, because God is saying, look, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So stop going to the hills and go to the God that created the hills. When you reach the temple, go ahead and worship him. I tell folks, I ain't come all this way to church for you to block me. Call me. Don't be talking to me doing service. Don't be messing with me. Nuh-uh, no. This is serious. Worship is serious. I ain't coming to have no fun. No. You pay me my money after. No, get my money now. But you got to let folks know. I came to worship. Amen. Somebody say, well, you didn't hear your baby making all. No, I ain't heard nothing. I was worshiping. I'm sorry if they messed with you. You should have been worshiping too. Because when you worship, you don't hear stuff. Stuff don't bother you when you're worshiping. Amen. Anybody can tell you everything happened in church. They wasn't worshiping. They was like... I came to worship. Well, you know you've been in worship? Well, you don't even know who did what, when, where. All you know, God showed up. That's when you know you've been in worship. You don't know who had on what. All you know is God. But you got to come up to worship. Come up out of the stuff. Come up out of all the stuff that we're used to. Come up out of that mess that we're used to. All these little things we used to say, these little cute things. God, come up out of that mess and worship me. Because I want to know I'm worthy, God says. Of all the praise. You know what? If you're feeling broken today, God will receive your worship. God. If you're waiting to feel better to worship God, I got news for you. You better worship him exactly how you feel. Because in the process of worshiping him, you're going to begin to feel. Yeah, Pastor, yeah, you don't understand. Yes, I do understand. I understand my God is able to do anything but fail. I don't care who hurt you, when they hurt you, or how they hurt you. I don't care when it happened or how it happened. God is yet able. God said, come on. See, he said, I live in the brokenness of your life. You got any broken people in here? God said, I live in the brokenness of your life. The only reason I ain't finished putting you back together is because you ain't let me all the way in. Holly, will you let me all the way in? Will you really let go of that stuff? You stop putting your hand in it and your hand on it. Anybody used to be like me? I give it to the Lord and I go back and say, well, you take a little bit too long. Let me get my hand. And the God said, okay, go back to the home plate. I was on second base. I had to go all the way back home. Had to bat all over again. God said, you let it go. Somebody, God or somebody, let it go and come worship me. Let it go. Let it go. Come worship me. Forgiveness will do amazing things for you. Because that person that hurt you, they ain't even thinking about you. Matter of fact, they're going on with their life. But when you get to worship, God has a language. We got a message for you in worship. When you get to worship, God says, you know, I no longer want you to be petty. I don't want you to worry about that small stuff, the other stuff. I want you to give that stuff to me. And every time something comes up in your life, I want you to give that stuff to me. And let me handle the stuff. I don't need you walking around all messed up and all bent out of shape and all crying all night long and taking all kind of pills and drinking all kind of liquor and snorting all kind of cocaine and shooting all kind of stuff in your arm. Come on and worship me. Because in my presence is the fullness of joy. When you come worship me, I will sanctify you. I will take away the taste. I will take away the stuff. I will take away the mess when you come to worship me. You trying to fix your marriage? God said, well, you just give it to me. You trying to fix your boss? Give your boss to Jesus. Look in the mirror, give yourself to Jesus. You trying to fix all the relationships? Your family get on your nerves? Give your family to Jesus. Give everything to Jesus. Pastor, you mean give him everything. You can't mess him up. You can't break him down. He's all powerful. Give everything to him. You got a nasty attitude? Give that to Jesus. You hating on people? Get that to Jesus. Because when you come to worship, when you go higher, you begin to see a different God. You'll see a greater God. He'll begin to show you some stuff that you never even seen before. But as long as you stay down here, the enemy going to get you. But when you raise up above, the idol worship, all those temples in the hills and go to the high place, God's got some blessings in store for you. Yes, he does. Let us all stand. You got to come up to worship. But worship begins with Jesus Christ being your Lord and Savior. When you go back home, read Psalms 120 to 134. I know it sounds old-fashioned and corny, but worship, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If you want your church to be on fire for the Lord, get some worship going on. I ain't talking about praise and worship. I'm talking about worship. Show enough worship. Just going in and saying, God, I love you. God, I praise you. God, you are an awesome God. God, I thank you for being in my life. God, I thank you for embracing me with your love. God, I thank you for the mercy, God. I thank you for the grace, God. I thank you for being the God of my salvation. When I wasn't fit to live and wasn't ready to die, God, there you were. God, you saved me. You closed doors that the enemy opened, and you opened doors that the enemy tried to close. God, I thought I was alone till I felt your presence in my life. Stop walking around with your head down to the ground, all bent over and messed up. God loves you. And come as you are. You don't need a new suit. You don't need a new dress. You don't need to wash your face. You can come bent over, broke down, or standing up, however. And guess what? Come with your stuff. God is not afraid of your stuff. Everything you've been through in life. The stuff you can't tell folk, I dare you, put it together now and bring it. We'll open the doors of God's house. Whatever you've been through, whatever you're going through right now, you might come crying, you might come, they don't make any difference to God. The doors of God's house are open. He's saying, come to me and worship.